The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
And welcome along to William Hill's Racing Podcast. We'll be looking ahead to Tuesday's racing on this edition of the podcast. We have racing from Southwell, Uttoxeter and Fontwell Park, and we'll be on air from 11:50 a.m. Sean Quinn, Niall Hannity and Mark Slater will be the team in the studio, so tune in for all of that. But right now, my name is Mark Walton and joining me in the studio is Mick Norton. How are you, Mick?
Yes, good, thank you, Mark.
Good, glad to hear it, Mick. Another fantastic weekend of racing just gone by, and we'll start with the Monday jury to look back at that, and then we'll look ahead to Tuesday's racing. But before we start with the questions, Mick, it was a good weekend, wasn't it?
It was a good weekend. It did have its dark moments, didn't it? Poor old Jawala losing her life in Hong Kong, with poor old Stephen having a terrible fall, and just when he'd come back from injury, got himself back in on track with a Group 1 win on the mare in the Nunthorpe, and for that to happen, absolutely appalling. And he isn't clever. I was speaking to a friend of mine who was in Hong Kong, and he said it's the worst fall on the flat he'd ever seen.
And it's not good news, is it? And, it's just, well, what can you say about something like that? It's just incredibly
tragic.
Sad to see. There were good things this weekend, though, Mick. Aintree and Sandown, Tingle Creek meeting at Sandown, and over the national fences at Aintree as well. So it's great to see horses back over the national fences, isn't it, for the first time?
Yeah, they have modified them somewhat, haven't they? I just hope they aren't going to overdo it, because it's just going to become another handicap chase instead of being the unique handicap steeplechase. But I suppose in this day and age, what can you expect? And at least the horses who did take part did the track credit, didn't they?
Yes, and at Sandown, the Tingle Creek was the feature. No Sprinter Sacra in this year's renewal, but we've got a new winner to add to the list of illustrious past winners inside a Grugian. The first question surrounds that. If he has no chance of beating Sprinter Sacra, where would you go with Side of Grugy?
Well, apparently he's going to Kempton over Christmas, isn't he? But there is a school of thought, which I think the trainer is probably in agreement with, that he's better going right-handed anyway. That more or less rules Cheltenham out, doesn't it, to a crack at the Queen Mother. There might be sorely tempted nearer the time, but I think just on the limited evidence that there is, he is a better horse going right-handed, which would open up options for him, I suppose. But that, you know, the one at Kempton, then the end of season celebration chase, right-handed, of course, and that clashes with Punchestown, where Sprinter Sacra would probably go.
Yeah.
Of course, Punchestown's right-handed, so wherever Sprinter Sacra went, he could avoid.
Yeah.
But Gary's worried about him being a highly strung horse, whether he'd travel as well. But he is talking about taking him to France as well, but I'm not sure about the right-handed jumping tracks. I mean, our toy is left-handed, isn't it?
Yeah.
So we'll have to see. Anyway, I'm sure they'll do what's best for the horse.
Yeah. Either way, though, would you aim to avoid Sprinter Sacra where possible? I mean, being a Tingle Creek winner, it's going to be hard to avoid.
There are so few top-class two-mile chasers around. If he was mine, I think I'd do my best to avoid him.
Yeah.
And sort of plot his season around where he isn't going.
Yeah.
But if the time was right, why not have a crack at him sometime and say on his patch, going right-handed, maybe even Sandown, if Sprinter Sacra stayed at home, that'd be a good day to take him on. And he'll have had a bit more match practice by then as well. It's only his second season, obviously, don't forget.
Yeah. And that'd be quite an end to the season, wouldn't it? Those two signatures on at Sundown.
Yeah. Yeah.
Good. Right, the Henry VIII novice chase then promised to be informative. What will you take from it, Mick?
I'm not sure. I mean, I do like Hinterland. I thought that it was a great performance by Hinterland for one so inexperienced. I think it was only his second start over fences, wasn't it? And he jumped Sundown like an old hand. And Grand Dewey jumped well, which was probably a bit of a worry, having come to grief there the previous time. Good race between two good horses. Amazing. Grand Dewey is probably the best maiden chaser in training, isn't he? And I'm sure it's only a matter of time before Nicky Henderson finds the right race for him to put that right. But Yeah, it's interesting where they all go next. Hinterland apparently doesn't need too much racing. I think we won't see much of him before the Arkle. Right. Whereas Grand Dewey's got to get that maiden broken, hasn't he?
Yeah.
So, yeah, they'll probably take separate paths to the festival. The big disappointment with the race was Takan de Sol, who had impressed me with his jumping prior, but not on Saturday, and it could be that he's happier going left-handed.
Maybe so, yeah. The one thing about him, though, is when he was beating AP, AP McCoy wasn't too serious on him.
Exactly.
And he stayed on.
I was going to say, he stayed on up the hill, didn't he?
Yeah.
So
maybe further.
Oh, yeah, I wouldn't write him off on the back of that. No. I think that mistake that took the stuffing out of him, yeah. And AP looked after him, didn't
he? Yeah, he did, yeah. And the time before, he out-battled Oscar Whiskey, which is no mean feat.
Absolutely.
So I think he's one that's going to stay, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, I wouldn't... I think it was a very, very good one. Very good... Henry the Eighth, and threw up for three very good horses.
Mm.
Okay, it was a quicker time than Tingle Creek as well.
Yeah, it was, wasn't it? Yeah,
interesting.
Yeah. Shows we've got some decent novices then.
That's good, isn't it?
Yeah. What did you make of the races over the National Fences with April in mind? The mix with regards to the Grand National.
I'm not sure about that, but no. Yeah. I mean, I've got to declare an interest. Nice each way on Mr. Moonshine. I was praying for him too. I think the rain that came on Friday night scuppered his chance. But he still ran a mighty race, jumped the fences for fun. And as long as he gets in the National, he'll take his chance again, I think. He'll be an outsider. It depends on what happens at the top end of the weights, because he's going to be out the weights off of his current mark if things stay as they are. But it was a good race to watch. Baby Run ran a mighty race, didn't he? Brilliant, absolute natural. Over those entry fences, like his rider, Sam Twiston Davis.
Yeah.
Doesn't he have a pop round there? And, it was a good weekend's racing at Aintree.
Okay. None of the first four, though, were rated higher than 1.36. And if something like Long Run were to go for the National, then they're going to struggle to get into the race, aren't they? So.
Absolutely, yeah.
And don't know how much you can take out of it. But I suppose on his own would be one of those that would be rated high enough. And he showed an okay return and staying on late on.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that was the object of the exercise, to give him a look with that in mind for next year. So, yes, I think it will have a bearing in some form or other, the two big races. And they deserve to. I mean, they're two good races in their own right, Matt. It wasn't that long ago. The National wasn't worth what the Beach Jets was worth on Saturday.
Yeah, good races, yeah. Right. Moving on to Sunday's racing, should Sir Deschamps fall temper enthusiasm for the Gold Cup?
Not at all. It was just one of those things, wasn't it? I mean, you only have to look at the picture on the front of the racing post to see why he fell. He was between a rock and a hard place, wasn't he? Didn't know whether to stick or twist, and he's ended up doing neither, and he's paid the price that can happen to any of them.
Yeah, he's going to run again before then as well, isn't
absolutely.
He?
Absolutely.
As long as he's confident,
probably run
to Leopardstown
over Christmas and get back on track there.
And it was so early in the race as well. It's just one of those. You put a line through, isn't it?
Yeah.
Okay, what else has caught your eye of late then, Mick?
Two Sundays ago, Mark, I was really impressed at Ferry House with Anna Liffette, the way that she won the juvenile hurdle that's been won by some good horses in the past.
Mm-hmm.
Never came off the steel. Her technique was absolutely impeccable. And getting the mare's allowance, I think she's going to be... hard for the geldings to cope with over the next weeks and months. She looks as though she's got to go very much on the shortlist for the top four-year-old juvenile hurdle honours. And on the same card, half an hour later, the Tullo Tank really impressed me.
Yeah.
Never stopped improving this horse, and he really did look the real deal, I thought. And he's also got the option that he will, I think... probably better as he goes up in trip, so they've got options with him. Be interesting to see if they are tempted to go over further next time, because he looks a real stayer in the making, and whatever he does over hurdles will be an absolute bonus, because he's got chaser written all over him, hasn't he? So they were the two that really stuck in my mind from that good weekend's racing in Ferry House two Sundays ago.
Okay, and an easy one to finish with, Mick. Who is going to win the December Gold Cup?
Yeah, Paddy Power is usually the best form guide to this, isn't it? Now, I think if you concentrate on the horses who are close up in the Paddy Power, and probably the one that might make the most improvement from the open meeting to this is Atterclance, who I thought ran a mighty race to finish just behind them, wasn't given a hard time, and I think that'll put him spot on.
Yeah, I backed Atterclance each way in the Paddy Power, and my slight doubt was that he hasn't won over fences yet. I mean, he's a good hurdler, wasn't he? He's won at Cheltenham over hurdles and at Aintree at the back end of last season, but he seems to be getting the hang of it now over fences, and he's got an extra pull in the works, hasn't he? So
he has, yeah, and he certainly wasn't sort of found wanting when the pace quickened, and you know, he hung right in there, didn't he, till very late on. So yeah, I think he'll be a good price again, Mark. He won't, you know, he's going to be probably even a double figure price.
Well, it's 14-1 at the moment on the
other side.
The 1-2 in the race, Colour Squadron and John Spirit, are the 7-1 joint favourites. Do you reckon they'll reverse placings? A couple of people,
no, I don't think so. I think John Spirit is probably going to be the one to beat. I think he's a horse that looks like a horse to me who can cope with a rise in weights and class, and I think he beat them fair and square. The weight differential will make life a little bit difficult for him, but I didn't think that he was I thought, well, there's another one in a big one in him before the handicapper says get yourself into graded company, young man, but I think there's another one in him.
Okay, yeah, and Colour Squadron has the tendency to wander about, doesn't he? I mean, if you just run in a straight line, he'd be
great. John Spirit has taken to Cheltenham like a duck to water, hasn't he?
Yeah, okay. It's going to be a good race again. So that's coming up this weekend, coming up. So
absolutely.
Plenty more to look forward to.
Yeah, it's all sort of seems to revolve around the weekend, Mark, doesn't it?
Yeah. But it's not bad, though, is it, when we've had four or five good weekends in a row? It's something to look forward to every week. Anything else in the news, Mick, that's caught your eye of late?
Just that they're getting sounding very bullish about the new one, aren't they?
And
which I don't. I think it's great that the Twist and Davis team have come back as a form with such a bang after a miserable November. I don't think they had a winner in November.
No.
And whatever ailed them in November has certainly. It certainly haven't dragged it over into December. It's been all systems go, hasn't it, since we moved into December. And great that they're talking him up. And he does look the real deal, isn't he? He's going for the Bueller, isn't he? And so that'd be great to see. And I think that should be an informative race as well.
Yeah, should be, and it'd be good to see how he gets on, because we've seen a couple of his rivals for the Champion Hurdle come out and win since, so it'd be interesting to see if the market changes again. He destroyed Rock and Ruby, didn't he, in his reappearance, so should be.
Yeah, I think he'll strip fit to Rock and Ruby. He looked very ring rusty, didn't he?
I don't think he had the headgear on, did he? Either.
No, I think I think it was just getting him back on track, wasn't it? And so we'll learn something else on Saturday, won't we?
We will, and we'll look forward to that. But before we get to Saturday, Mick, I suppose we should talk about some of the racing close to hand. And you've picked out three races at Southwell on Tuesday. A couple of good handicaps in the middle of their card. We've got a Class 2 handicap and a Class 3 handicap. And then you're going to finish off with the last race. So starting with the 130, Mick, this is a Class 2 handicap over 7 furlongs. And 9 of them in the lineup. It's competitive stuff, and it should be a good race.
Very much so, Mark. It's a really good race. The weights are headed by Galician, who's a really tough front running mare. She is making her 5% debut, but there'll be no hanging about with her in the field, and she is coming back in trip as well. And if she handles the surface, she might just take some pegging back. There's a real course specialist here in the shape of Dubai Hills, who's 4 from 4 over course and distance. He's got six wins in total. And that's from 7 starts, Mark. The only time he was beaten, he finished 3rd. He must have had a headache that day, hasn't he? But and he's with his turf runs of recent not being anything special. But you just forget that, because when he comes back here, he comes alive.
Yeah.
So he's back to a mark that's only a pound above his last winning mark. And interestingly enough, Brian Smart has gone for a new jockey for him. Graham Lee's taking the ride on Dubai Hills for the first time, and I think back at his happy hunting ground of Southwell, with a guaranteed gallop on board, with the shape, in the shape of a Galician, I think Dubai Hills is going to take all the beating. A couple of other horses who go well here have got big chances as well, especially La Fan, who's 2 from 2 here at the track, and plenty of respectable recent efforts around this mark, probably better runs than Dubai Hill's been showing elsewhere. La Fan's been running with plenty of credit, and I think he'll make Dubai Hills pull out all the stops to get the better of La Fan, who won't give up his unbeaten record here without a fight. And the other interesting runner is Frontier Fighter, who has got work to do with Dubai Hills on their course form last March. He's worse off in the weights because he's crept up, whereas Dubai Hills has been creeping back. But he's arguably still improving and was an excellent second at Kempton last time. Really good race for midweek, and I'm just hoping that Dubai Hills can continue his excellent course form at Southwell.
Yeah, okay then. Dubai Hills clearly loves it round Southwell. Hopefully that continues on Tuesday. Talking about Southwell form, the 2 o'clock there is a class 3 handicap over 5 furlongs, and there's a whole host of horses in here, Mick, with who like it round Southwell. So
22 course wins between them, Mark. Yeah. 14 runners and 22 course wins between them. So yeah, so I think it's going to pay to concentrate on the course form, and one of the prolific ones is Even Stevens, who's 6 from 8 here at Southwell, and did run off a pound higher mark earlier on this year back in January. Wasn't beaten that far in a class 2 at Lingfield last time. Despite only finishing 8th, it was only beaten less than 2 lengths. It's a real blanket finish, and he looks sure to run his race, and I think he's the one that they've got to beat back here at Southwell. Equitania makes a quick reappearance after winning at Wolverhampton the other day under this boy, Tim Clark. The penalty means that a career best is required, but does look very much on the upgrade, and is 1 from 1 here on the fibre sand at Southwell, and she's won 3 of her last 4, and you can't as easily overlook a filly in such rampant form. Another filly who comes here in good form with a good chance is Silicon Express, trained by Robert Cowell, who is still reeling from the loss of Jawala in Hong Kong. Finished 1st and 2nd both starts here at Southwell. Excellent 3rd of 10 at Kempton Park off this mark last time, and is less exposed than most and very much respected. And the other one to mention is Shirara, 2 from 2 over course and distance. David Bergen taking off £5 for David O'Meara. Did run well in this higher grade at 2. The win last time came in class 4, back up here into class 3, but did run well in higher grades at 2, and back to winning form, as I said last time. But strictly on a handicapping point of view, a career best is required. I'm going to leave this to Even Stevens.
Okay, Even Stevens then in the 2 o'clock at Southwell, and on to the final race of the day on the fibres on there. That's the 3:30. We finish with Division 2 of this Class 6 7 furlong handicap. And Izzy Boy is coming into this in winning form, but his only previous trip to Southwell was quite disappointing, Mick. Would that be enough to make you take him on?
Yeah, I think so. I'd like to see a little bit more, especially when you're up against, you know, like horses like Elusive Warrior, who's won 10 times around here. And so it's not going to be easy for Izzy Boyle, or the handicapper has given him every chance after that Polytrack win the other day, when he belatedly broke his maiden after been quite expensive to fall off. And well back this horse, isn't he?
Yeah.
But I'm sure there's more to come. But and Elusive Qualities do go on the surface. So it's interesting, but I'm going to stay with the proven fibre sand form. The ones who've got it are, we'll go through in race card order. Prince of Passion, who heads the weights. Derek Shaw trains. He has winning form here. For Joe Fanning, and with his mark of 60, no problem to him. He is a definite player, and he's been placed on his last two visits to Southwell. Now Gishan, trained by Michael Appleby, who's got a great record at the track, ran well here on her debut, has shown little since, but has definite interest off of this mark of 59 if the money arrives for her. Grace Hull, I think, is going to get the verdict here. She's got form here, and she was runner-up here over the Six Furlong trip a couple of weeks ago. And I think the way she was staying on that day, I think well worth a try at this seven furlongs. And Tom Quealy, who has ridden her in the past, she'd been apprentice ridden the last few times. Interesting that Tom's back on for this step up to seven furlongs. And we've touched on Elusive Warrior, another one who'll give it his best shot. And Aaron Jones, who was on board for his last win, taking the ride on Elusive Warrior, looking for his 11th course win here at Southwell. But I'm going to leave this to Grace Hull and Tom Quealy.
Okay, let's have a nice little summary then, Mick, if you wouldn't mind, if you'll just spin us through your selections one more time.
Yeah, plenty of course form to get your teeth into, and a real course specialist is the selection in the 130 Dubai Hills, who has got six wins here in total and was third on his only other visit. Even Stevens, 6 from 8. He's the selection in the 2 o'clock. Looks as though he was primed for a return to winning form with that good run at Lingfield last time. And in the lucky last, Tom Quealy is reunited with Grace Hull, who was second here 2 weeks ago. And this looks a good opportunity on her first try at seven furlongs.
Good work. Thank you very much, Mick. Enjoy on Tuesday.
Will do, Mark. Thank you.
So there you go. The thoughts of Mick Norton then on Tuesday's racing at Southwell. You'll hear all of Tuesday's action on Racing Radio from 11:50 a.m. Sean Quinn, Niall Hannity and Mark Slater will be in the studio. It's this meeting at Southwell alongside two jumpers, Utoxeter and Fontwell, and you'll hear it all on Racing Radio. Thank you very much for listening to the William Hill Racing Podcast, and enjoy Tuesday's action.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.